Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. Sorry about the long weekend, but I figured I've come back here, and your reward for sticking out the long weekend is an extra show of Pete this week. So, Pete, how you doing?
I'm doing well, man. How you doing? You had that hole in one this weekend.
that was pretty cool. I decided, though, that whichever person hit the first hole in one and had to buy everybody drinks for that, like that person has terrible friends.
Like they just, oh, in terms of like who came up with that idea?
Yeah,
you're spreading the love. Man. That's bad karma not to do that, man. Like that's just taking your hole in one and going home, man. That's asking for bad things to happen in the upcoming months.
That hole in one cost me $50.
Like it's well worth it, man. Don't be
All right.
See, this is why you wake up with your eye not working randomly. It's this sort of mentality, Anthony.
Fair point. That's touche to you. You enjoyed a great weekend, and USC lost in football, so that's always fun.
Yeah, well, I try and stay out of the local allegiances when it comes to college football. I don't really care that much.
Okay. Well, my wife's a USC fan, so it was, and there was a bunch of USC fans around me, so.
My girl's a Stanford grad, so she was pretty happy, and I think I'm a Stanford fan now, just by proxy. But yeah.
You do funny things for golf, for love. Speaking of love, let's spread the love here. We didn't do a mailbag Monday. We are going to do a joint mailbag between you and me. I went through and picked out a few questions that either mentioned you specifically, or things that you went through also and picked out a couple questions yourself. And then we're going to finish on a fun one at the very, very end of this. So we're going to talk about Andrew Bynum. We're going to talk about Luol Deng's buyout and everything that kind of might fall out from there. A death lineup question, which is going to be kind of fun. And then there's a question about fast food, what our favorite fast food is. So we'll see how that goes. You guys know where to find the show. You guys know where to find us. Let's dive right into this thing. Andrew Bynum is attempting a comeback. The somehow still 30-year-old Andrew Bynum.
It's amazing, man. I think Josh Jackson is older than him at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right.
Sorry, I threw you off there. I'm just clowning.
I was like, whoa, Josh Jackson. That's an interesting name to throw out there. But
he's just one of them. I'm sorry. Let me explain this. Like, there's a kid at. Where's he at now? He maybe at Harvard West. Like, no. He's at Sierra Canyon, named Cassius Stanley, who's a very highly rated prospect. He's a senior now. He is 19 years old, and he's going to be 20 by the time he starts his first year of college. And so it's this thing that high level prospects will like be held back as long as they possibly can, so they can get the physical advantages over their competition and whatnot. Josh Jackson was one of those guys, right? Like he's older than Brandon Ingram, even though he was a one and done a year after Brandon Ingram. He's like 6 months older than him, or 10 months, or I think it's 10 months, something like that. So anyway, yeah, I like to crack on Josh Jackson's age because I think that's kind of lame to be like, you know, a 19-year-old senior in high school playing against other, you know, 16-year-olds and things like that.
That's like the Brandon Whedon thing. I think he was drafted at like the ripe age of 45.
Right.
So yeah, I was asked if I wanted to be held back because I started kindergarten when I was four. So they asked me if I wanted to stay back because I actually would have matched up with people. But no, if you're gonna do that, you'd better be really freaking good. I was nowhere near good enough. I wanted to be with my friends longer than I was gonna play basketball.
For sure.
So Bynum though is attempting this comeback. And one, I'm a little skeptical because guys who spend that much time away from the game make me a little nervous. And two, like his game just doesn't really fit the modern NBA.
I mean, it's been a long time since we saw what his game looked like. It's funny. Remember when he got killed for taking that trailer pull-up three, right? Where like all the record scratches, like Mike Brown benched him. That was only like 6 years ago, right?
Yeah.
And now like the idea of a big man pulling up for a wide open trailer three was like horrifying. And now it's totally part of the norm. And I remember Powell had quotes like, that's not part of his game, he shouldn't be doing that, and everyone is killing him. And now Powell just had a year or two ago had like the most efficient 3-point season ever for a guy who took 100 plus shots, right? And anyhow, so yeah, I have my concerns about Bynum. Like for me, it's more where is his head at. I always liked him as a player. He was exciting to watch him grow from a baby to really an all-star caliber player. At one point, he was probably the second best center in the game.
Yeah.
So in terms of what his game is, there still is a place in the league for guys who can set a good screen and roll and finish above the rim. You know, I just – he's kind of an odd dude, yeah. And when he stacked that on top of the knee injuries and things like that, but for a 15th roster spot, I mean, yeah, it depends on the off-court stuff for me. I don't know about you, but like, there's also a culture he needs to fit into if he's going to come back, and I just don't know if he's personality-wise, if he fits in with the rest of the team. And but then again, does that matter if you're yeah. if he's the 15th guy?
What you're saying, though, is that Andrew Bynum was ahead of his time.
That's what I'm saying. He was an innovator. Yeah.
Andrew Bynum, Mueller of the modern NBA.
you know what's funny is years ago in the 80s, Manute Bol was 7'6", mm-hmm. skinny as he was like 7'6", 225, something crazy like that. Like if you turned sideways, you couldn't see him anymore. He was so skinny. But he would shoot threes with Don Nelson, right? Like mm-hmm. he kind of this cockback type form. So there have always been some guys. Jack Sikma back in the day was a guy who Sam Perkins was a guy who did that for the Lakers. But you had to be kind of like designated beforehand before you dared to do that. If you were viewed as a roll finish around the rim type of guy, you better damn well do that, or else you're getting, you know, sent to the bench.
Yeah, it was always the he'd better make it. You know,
he better make that shot.
Yeah, I don't think there's really a spot for Bynum on the Lakers, because I just don't really see the fit and the concerns that you're talking about with the culture stuff. In terms of like with the Lakers specifically, if LeBron is going to play as much five as he's going to, I want as many minutes designated to that as possible, because I think that's what's going to make the Lakers the best.
So what do you think they end up doing with that 15 spot?
I think they keep it open. I do too. They're deep enough that they don't need really a 15th guy. I think they're set. Like if somebody gets hurt and they need to fill it later in the year, then okay, you kind of rethink some stuff there. But having that 14th roster spot, that was one of the things that Mitch Kupchak really liked to do during his tenure, was that he liked having the flexibility of having that 15th roster spot open just in case something happened. And it works, I think, for these Lakers.
Yeah, there are a couple of things you can do that with that. One is if a trade comes along, you have like an odd number. You can take one more guy in than mm-hmm. you put out. So it gives you that additional flexibility. The Lakers will also be buyers in the buyout market yeah. this year. There's always those solid vets who are in the last year of their deal, who I think March 1st is the buyout deadline, if I remember correctly, who end up switching teams at later in the year, get bought out for a team that isn't playing for a playoff spot, and guys get picked up as a result of that. So the Lakers, for the first time, will be in a competitive race. And like you said, if there's injuries or if a good player comes on the market, I think they're going to hold out for that. And there's always like Chris Bosh in the background, who I don't think will be cleared by the NBA. Eric Pink has had a really good article on this. But, you know, it's that, like you said, it's that flexibility where if something pops up, you can jump on it right away rather than having to make moves and let go of a guy with a guaranteed contract.
We were going to talk about this in the second segment, so we're just going to take a quick second here and then come back, and we'll talk about we'll get a little bit more into the weeds with this roster spot as well and options that they might have there. Like, I'm willing to report that Trevor Ariza is already negotiating his buyout with the Phoenix Suns.
Perfect. Yeah, he's absolutely a candidate.
So we'll get to that here in a second. But first, let's talk about Ease really quickly. Ease has been phenomenal with their support of the show, so we need to continue to support them. It's eaze.co/lockedon to get $20 off your first purchase. You go there, they have everything that you might need. They connect you directly to verified retailers and brands that you prefer. We already are starting to see the market kind of play out where some brands are seen as more trusted than others. They have all the trusted brands. If you're on there, you can feel rest assured that you're completely safe with any legalities of purchasing marijuana as we continue to kind of forge this new path forward as the entire industry is made legal. So go to ease.co/lockedon to get $20 off your first purchase, or you can find the Ease app, EAZE, in the either the iTunes or Android app store and put in that promo code. You get $20 off your first purchase, and you move forward that way. Going to take another quick second here, and when we come back, we're going to keep talking about Luol Deng's recently vacated roster spot. Luol Deng's a Minnesota Timberwolf. Who could have seen that coming?
It's shocking.
poor Wolves fans, right? They just drafted the guy that I really like is Josh Okogie, and now it's hard for me to see. Like they went into the tax to sign Luol Deng, and that tells me that they have made a commitment to Luol Deng playing minutes somehow. They have Andrew Wiggins. They have now Deng. They have Jimmy Butler. Okogie was a promising player. I don't know how he's going to crack the roster spot or any kind of rotation minutes here. I'd be bummed if I was a Wolves fan. But for the Lakers, we talked about Trevor Ariza. I believe Tyson Chandler is also been expiring, so he might become a name that you start hearing a little bit about too. Is there anybody that you could kind of foresee on the buyout market or like a type of player that you would like to see the Lakers use that 15th spot on?
I think the Lakers they're thin at the five spot and arguably the one, although yeah, that's something that the Lakers have enough ball handlers at perimeter positions mm-hmm. that for me, it's more of a guy who can defend ones than it is the need for a guy who can run an offense. It's Lonzo and Rondo, and then Caruso is your third string guy, who's okay as that. But, you know, Lonzo wasn't exactly a picture of health. Yep. And, you know, if one of those guys go down, that becomes a significantly different. Like, the Lakers don't have a lot of smaller type of guys on the roster, which is probably a good thing as the game becomes more switchable and, you know, 6'8", 6'9", guys that can do a little bit of everything. But if Lonzo were to get hurt, they don't have much in the way of guys that can stay with those types of smaller players on the other end. So that would be the type of player that I'd be looking for. In terms of what the market will look like, honestly, I don't know right now. Yeah, like Ariza's a good name that I know, you know. But the Lakers are also, you know, if they have an injury at the wing, you've got guys like Svi Mykhailiuk and Josh mm-hmm. Hart who can take more minutes or are good enough players to – do you want to sign a guy like Ariza ahead of them? And there's a good argument to be made. Ariza's probably a better player than those guys are right now. But I just don't see the holes at that part of the roster to go after a guy like him. But, yeah, I think it's more likely that, you know – gosh, I don't know. More likely, you got the five spot. Mm-hmm. You know, if Bosch gets cleared, which I think is a long shot, like he would be the guy who, fingers crossed, would be the best fit because he can stretch the floor. He's a really good defender. He's played with LeBron. He knows what goes into that. Obviously, there are tons of question marks, and he needs to put his health first. But I think Bosch would be the guy of everybody that I would be the most excited about, provided that he gets cleared in terms of his health.
The Bosch thing is legitimately terrifying. Like, it is, it's like, I don't know, for those of you listening, this was a while ago, but this was a long time ago, but I think it was Loyola Marymount, right? They had Hank Gathers, and he passed away right there on the court. And as somebody, like, I have dealt with a heart problem my whole life. And so, like, when I see, this dude might not be able to play because he's risking his life to potentially play basketball, I'm just like, man, that's a choice you can make, but I don't know if I would make that choice. That's a tough one. But if he gets fully cleared and he's going to play for somebody, I think the Lakers should definitely take a look.
Yeah.
I like what you said about the point guard spot, needing a backup point guard. And what's nice is that by the time the buyout market starts to take shape and guys actually become available, we'll have found out, all right, Lonzo can't stay healthy. It's not working necessarily with maybe the Lakers need more shooting or, you know, more defense specifically mm-hmm. just for that kind of look. Those are things you can find out as the buyout market takes shape. So I think, I would be shocked. And I think Pelinka has already come out and said that they're probably going to keep that spot open, that there's no free agents out there right now available that he sees a need for right now.
Yeah.
We're going to take another quick second here, and when we come back, we're going to have a little bit of fun with a death lineup question from a listener here on iTunes. And a reminder, if you guys have any questions or any topics that you want us to talk about, that's the best way to guarantee that you're going to get it on the show. So go to iTunes, put a 5-star review together, and we will get to that question. So we're going to take another quick second here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a lineup that doesn't involve Lonzo that might be kind of interesting here. So this comes from Edgar Beer. Our deadliest lineup might be without Lonzo, Ingram, Sfi, Hart, Kuzma, and LeBron. This is, of course, if Sfi gets well-adjusted to the NBA. Thoughts? What do you think of – I mean, I guess when you have LeBron on the court, you don't really need the typical point guard. My concern here is guys on the court who could defend point guards, because it's maybe Hart, though that's not usually the kind of defense he typically plays. He's better at switching down lineups or whatever than he is switching up. So I might swap out Hart for KCP here, or Sfi for KCP.
I would probably want KCP in that lineup. So the argument for something like that is having a knockdown type of shooter, which could be Sfi or KCP in that lineup around those lengthy shot creators while still being small and fast. For me, the value that Lonzo provides in a lineup like that is he's a havoc creator defensively. That KCP has a little bit of that in him. Sfi is not, although I think Sfi's like going to be okay defensively on the end.
I think he'll be a disaster.
Right. Yeah. We talked about this on a recent show. For me, like, I want that type of lineup to get out and transition as often as possible, which Lonzo helps you do with creating havoc defensively and with his ability to pass and transition specifically. But I can see the argument for it. I don't think it's a bad idea, although I do agree with you. I think that you can get a little bit of that havoc creation with KCP instead of Sfi while not losing a ton in terms of shooting, having a guy that can do that. So, yeah, I'd be totally down with seeing that lineup in for stretches, whether it's – I don't think it would be their go-to type of lineup, but I do think even a guy like KCP is small and quick enough to, you know, he can do a serviceable job on those guards, those point guards that you're talking about.
This feels like the kind of lineup that you look back at the end of the year and they didn't play a ton of minutes together, but they were super productive when they were on there.
Totally possible, yeah.
And actually, this kind of leads me to a larger point regarding the Lakers, and what really makes me excited about this team specifically is they have so many options. Like, with the way that they have built this team around wings and switchability and stuff like this, Luke has to, like, go to sleep every night thinking, like, wow, I can do this. I can go in this direction. Jesse Mermes, like, sends him voicemails. Dude, we can mess around with this team so much, bro. It's just it's really fun to think about.
Yeah. Luke has kind of an all-for-one egalitarian type of mindset, right, where next man up, everybody's part of a team, that I don't always agree with, because I think basketball is more of a sport where your stars are going to be the ones who really carry the water and everybody else plays a role. But from that perspective, Luke has the ability to leverage that mentality in a way that he wasn't able to in previous teams. We saw guys who weren't very good, in my opinion, getting too many minutes in previous years, because Luke really liked to run 10 guys at the very least, sometimes even 11 with an extra big like Bogut at his disposal. He's going to be able to have the Lakers come at teams in waves and do it effectively in a way that he's never been able to. So I think this roster suits Luke's style much better than previous versions of this Laker roster have. And so, yeah, they can – I mean, they're deep, and if they want to play fast, they can play guys on shorter shifts with the directive of, we are going, and I need 6 minutes out of you to just really go, and then next guy is going to come in and keep that going, and then you'll be right back in, you know, if he wants to play that type of style. That's more of like a high school or college, like Shaka Smart type of style of, we're going to get like 5-6 great minutes out of you, sub you out, and then you'll be back in soon. But if it were to work on the NBA level, this is the type of team that can pull that off.
Luke was actually asked over the weekend some of the things that he's going to be looking for in his rotation and how he's going to dole out those minutes on ESPN LA. He said, are you playing the way we want to play? Are you moving the ball? Are you doing the little things defensively that we emphasize? If you're doing that, then you're going to play. And I like the term that you use, egalitarian. Just it's a very principled, this is what I think we need to do to be successful. You fit into that, everything's going to work just fine. And that's why, to get us back to bring us a little full circle here to talk about Andrew Bynum, I just don't think that's the kind of culture that Bynum really fits in.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And it also, along the lines of what I said about, you know, your stars carry your water, like LeBron's going to play, right? Like if LeBron is not having a good defensive game or does not do the things that Luke said, he's not going to bench LeBron, right? Like he's still going to – so there isn't anybody else on the roster, in my opinion, and fans may agree, other fans may disagree with me on this. There's nobody else on the roster that I think is entitled to play no matter what down the stretch. Like if anybody else on the team is having a bad game and their backup or someone else can fit in, like you talked about the versatility they had, if someone else is playing better, like that's the hot hand to ride that night. Whereas LeBron's the exception. LeBron's going to close regardless. But to me, like, do you think there's anybody else on the roster that, you know, 2 for 16, bad defense, like no matter how bad they play, you're going to want them in no matter what in the closing lineup?
No. No, and this is where this season is going to be so different from the last 5 years or so, is that the last 5 years, the key priority wasn't necessarily win total. It was development. It was make sure these kids are growing. And so they had guys on their roster that needed to play those minutes because they needed – their development was vital to the growth of the entire franchise. This year, it's not like that. This year, you have to win games. You're in a playoff. The playoff chase starts game one.
Yep.
And so you need whoever is playing well, whoever you trust in big moments, whoever works better with LeBron in those big moments. Like that's the LeBron is the only guy on the team that's going to be there for sure, right? So you need guys who are going to get the best results alongside LeBron in those moments because wins are key to this team.
And that's going to make for some interesting storylines throughout the year in terms of, you know, it happened a few times earlier in the year when Lonzo was having a particularly bad night. Jordan Clarkson might finish the game, right? But this year, there's more potential for that, right? Because there aren't going to be points of the season where it's like, oh, it doesn't matter. Just give those guys minutes they need to develop. So if any of the young guys that we prize are not closing out games, like that's going to be just for the sake of winning that game. And there are guys like Rondo and KCP and even your JaVale McGee's and the veterans that they've signed. Beasley could be on the court, you know, if he's had a particularly good game to close out. There are options. Lance could even be one of those guys, even though that's not something that you or I necessarily want.
I'd be pretty, those are. it's the opposite of the question you asked. But if there's a guy on the team that I don't want to see late in those moments, it's Lance probably.
Sure, and that's something though that's a distinct possibility.
Yeah.
Way more so than before. Like Corey Brewer wasn't going to close a lot of games when guys were healthy. Mm-hmm. He had a few like great defensive performances. He had a couple really good defensive performances against Devin Booker. I remember last year, and you know. A game in Houston where he played particularly well, where he closed out, but you're not going to have guys who like there's almost no chance that they close the game. So that's going to be interesting for Luke to pick a five, and with the versatility of the lineup, he can oftentimes pick the best five and not have much in the way of, oh, we have too many bigs or we have too many smalls out there. Like a lot of the guys are right in the middle of that. And so that's a good thing. He can go with the best five closing the game just about every night, but there's going to be interesting best fives along the way.
Yeah. My one, I guess I wouldn't say it's necessarily a concern, but for lack of a better term right now, my one kind of sort of concern here is that it is nice when you have a consistent closing five that guys can kind of develop habits over the course of the year and be ready for those kinds of situations. That, you know, we'll see how he balances that out because, you know, these guys are human beings. They have expectations. Yep. Their bodies have expectations. You need, if they need to call on one thing one night and then a different thing the next night, that can get kind of frustrating for them as the human being. So it'll be interesting to see how Luke Walton and his staff handles that balance there.
That 100% true. And I think it's inevitable that one of the bigger storylines of this year are going to be guys unhappy with their minutes, mm-hmm. whether it's the total minutes that they played or sitting on the bench in crunch time.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. All right, we're going to finish here with a little bit of fun. This is kind of how I like to do things on podcasts, especially this time of year. This was a little bit longer of a question, so I'm not going to get the whole thing here. But basically, Dion Martin was asking what our favorite fast food is. So I'm going to put a couple parameters here. It has to have a drive-thru. It is not fast food if it doesn't have a drive-thru. And your meal has to cost less than, like, if it's just you eating, less than $12.
So I'm going to go with Chano's by USC. Okay. It's a little greasy hole-in-the-wall joint that is open, I think, 24 hours, or it was when I was around those parts.
Always a great hallmark. Back then.
It is the best, like, greasy, I'm a little bit drunk, Mexican food. Like, Chano's is the spot. I can't remember what street it's on, but it's right by USC. I want to say it's on Fig, maybe not Fig. I don't remember where it's on. But, yeah, I think Adams, actually, if I remember correctly. Anyhow, that's the joint right there. How about you?
That's a good one. That's a good one. I mean, I have to give shouts to In-N-Out, right? I mean, you have to mention them. I'd be remiss if I didn't. But that's kind of an easy one. I think that's an easy one, and it would be too popular.
How fast is fast? So, like, In-N-Out's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to go – have
Man,
blow up my,
this is right, going right,
right. to Yeah, this is. I'm regretting
your mentions
already.
Are finally going to be lit on fire for.
I'm already regretting this. How fast is fast food when you got to wait 30 minutes in the damn line in the first?
Yeah, that's fair, but like, there's a reason
like
you're
good.
Making that wait.
It's good. Yeah. But is it like 30, 40 minutes in line good? Maybe I'm going to the wrong In-N-Outs, but like, I'll go In-N-Out from time to time, but. Like, to me, it's just not worth, like, I'm not going to sit in my damn car for that long and wait for that line to just crawl along. Like, it's good, but it ain't worth it to me on most days.
I want everybody listening right now to at Laker Film Room tomorrow and say that he hates In-N-Out. I want to let the record show that Pete was on here and said that In-N-Out sucks.
So do you really want to get into do you really want to get into this with me? I'll be happy to light your mentions on fire. I have my ways.
Man.
I'll remember this, Anthony.
Over the weekend, there was another Reddit thread about me. of course. Yeah. But all right, so how do you get your In-N-Out burgers though? Cuz like my burgers, I do no tomato, no onion. Tomatoes are gross. But I add the chili peppers and I add pickles. And that to me makes it just that's the best a burger's gonna get. It's best with that.
I didn't even know they had chili peppers. That's good to know.
What?
No, I had no idea.
Your like, take on In-N-Out's about to change.
yeah, I'll have to try that out. Yeah, for me, I like, you know, I like animal style fries and you know, just the burger. I'm trying to lose a few pounds, so I've been getting my burgers, you know, protein style. But yeah, that's generally how. And I grilled onions. I love tomatoes. I don't know what's offensive about them, but
they're,
you know,
gross.
So they're like water. Like what's wrong with tomatoes?
The problem with tomatoes, like if I know that it's there, like if I can prepare myself, like salsa, right? There, that's going to have tomatoes. Mm-hmm. Spaghetti sauce is going to have tomatoes, though. It's definitely not the same kind of flavor. Whatever, ketchup, same thing. But the worst aspect of tomatoes, and it's proof that we're in the bad place, is that if you ask if you ask for tomatoes or no tomatoes and they put the tomatoes there, you can't just like take the tomato off of there because it leaves seeds and the taste is still there. So like I've mentally prepared myself, this isn't going to have tomatoes. This is going to be great. And then it has it. It's just not.
You can taste the seeds?
Oh, yeah. No, if people – wow. I'm telling you right now, tomatoes are extremely polarizing. People who hate tomatoes hate tomatoes. I think pickles are the same way in this regard.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I didn't actually answer the question. My favorite fast food, though, is it's like all those chains of like Rigoberto's, Roberto's, like Sambrato's, like all those things that you guys, everybody listening to this knows what the buildings look like. You get the carne asada fries with all of the cheese and oh my gosh. Yeah, that's same thing. If you're drunk, if you just hit a hole in one and you need something to celebrate at the end of the night, that's what I'm rolling with. That's proof that we might be in the good place. We might be okay. All right, that'll do it, though, for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. This was a lot of fun. Thanks to those of you who sent in questions. Thanks, Pete, for hopping on with us. And we'll talk to you. We have a fun guest lineup for tomorrow's show, so look ahead for that. And we'll talk to you then.